episode 100 of the TV Dudes, recorded September 22nd, 2016. The 100th anniversary Greg Stravaganza. So, Greg, how's things in California?
Things in California are good. Parts of it are great. Parts of it are not. Mainly, our jobs are—they're good. They pay well and they're fine. But the structure of the school systems here are just so. One hand, it's very archaic, and another hand, it's progressive. But navigating through that has just been a pain in the ass.
You miss Texas schools, is what I'm hearing.
Hell no. I get to teach like real history and not rewritten history. My drive is 20 minutes. So I've, you know, Helene and I for now have conquered the traffic issue.
So have you listened to any podcasts on that drive? I hear there's a really good new Terriers podcast.
Wow, you really didn't wait to plug that.
It's been almost 3 minutes.
I haven't had a chance to listen to that podcast. The only TV News podcast I've had a chance to listen to really was the ATX Festival one, which is good, which is very, very good.
Oh, it was great interviewing them.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
That was very interesting and very cool. I do want to what I want to do is watch the episodes and listen to the commentary.
That is the preferred method to which to listen to Beach Cop Detectives. You watch the episode, then you listen, and then you sit back and marvel at the wonder that is Randy.
You give more money to Patreon, I think, is what we say to people.
And what I find so great is just, I mean, when you got Sean Ryan and everybody, like, up on it, that's good shit, man. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, I got to talk to Donald Logue for an hour this week. That was pretty awesome.
So, what, you didn't ask him about Gotham?
Okay, funny story. I did ask him about Gotham a question because my buddy Dave is cosplaying as Bullock this Halloween season. And So the last question after we hung up with the interview, I was like, hey, this is a weird question, but my friend is cosplaying you, and do you know what the kind of hat is that you wear on Gotham?
That's weird.
And then he was just like, get out of here.
No, he was very gracious about everything, and that included.
Once you got to that one, he was like, we're done.
We're already done.
Erase this. I'll sue you.
He seems like a cool guy, so I'm you know, that's good. I'm very, you know, that's one day if I get a chance to just have a one-on-one with David Simon or Michael K. Williams.
Either one of those would be awesome.
Or Idris Elba. Or even Dominic West. Actually, any of them.
Think small, Greg.
Yeah, you get Dookie. That's who you get to interview.
That season's one of the reasons why I'm a teacher, so.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is the 100th episode of the TV Dudes. We made it. We made it 100 episodes.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not true. If we actually do the math, we made about 300 episodes.
This is the second 100th anniversary.
Yeah. We've been doing this since 2010, I believe.
Yeah.
So it's been about 6 years of doing this podcast. We had a reboot once we moved over to the TV Dudes website. And after kind of figuring out what we wanted to do, we ended up settling on this new preferred format, and it's been 100 episodes since. So we are celebrating this with the main man, Greg, who started this all with us before abandoning us for California beaches.
Yeah.
Yeah, but well, I'm closer to the source, to the creators, man. Yeah, I live right next to John Landgraf. Actually, I don't, but I live.
He's next door.
If you say next door is like, you know, Malibu or something.
Next door, relatively. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm next door to him.
Hey, so folks, we are doing our 100th episode on actually the same topic that we did 6 years ago when we kicked off this whole thing: Ball Television. We did a fall preview back when we were doing video.
Oh, yeah.
And if I thought that was tedious edit, I wonder how Skype's going to treat me.
You know, I looked back at that, and why did we ever do video? What were we thinking?
I thought it was going to be a quick delivery method until I was like, oh, wait, I want to add stuff, graphics and stuff, and then I want to edit and upload. Oh. Let's go ahead and move on. We got a lot to get through this week, but first we want to do a little bit of house cleaning. And you know what? Speaking of terriers, we always bring up our iTunes, and we don't have any on our TV Dudes one. But by the way, please go to TV Dudes, give us a 5-star rating, write a review on iTunes for us. That'll really help us out. But we got a bunch on Beach Cop Detectives over on iTunes. I thought I might read a couple of those.
That sounds good to me.
If you want to hear the praises, Randy, if you can handle this.
I don't know. I'm very humble and do not like to hear people praise my work.
Well, I smelled that bullshit all the way in my life.
So the first one comes to us from Tom Feister, who says, "Great tribute to a great show, 5 stars. Terriers was gone way too soon. I'm so glad it lives on in this podcast. I really like how the first episode splits up the conversation for new viewers initially, and then closes with a separate conversation for longtime fans. Perhaps these conversations can serve as the commentary track for the episodes. Already looking forward to the next episode. Well done." Nice.
Yeah, that's good. Also, and Tom's a bit of a ringer, because Tom's a friend of mine who's an artist, and he is actually going to be on one of the episodes.
Ow!
Yeah, Tom's a professional comic book artist. He worked on a number of books, and he's got a new book coming out later this year, but he's a huge Terriers fan, and he's going to be doing one of the later episodes with me.
Awesome. Then we got another one here, and this one comes from Makita J, who says, "Great commentary and journalism, 5 stars. This Terriers podcast combines great TV commentary and entertainment journalism and is a wonderful tribute to one of the best TV shows of the modern prestige era." Thank you so much for these reviews, guys.
Yeah, that was very much appreciated. And also, it gets us up there. We were trending because of early on we were trending, and I would love to get a little more attention to the show. So those reviews really help us on Beach Cop Detective. So while you're going in to give us those 5-star reviews on iTunes for TV Dudes, you can hop over to Beach Cop Detectives and give us some 5-star reviews over there, too.
Yeah. While we're at it, if you guys want another way to help support the show, go to patreon.com/TVDudes, and there you guys can make a per-episode pledge. You give $1 an episode, which I think is probably the lowest amount, but a great amount for us. And in exchange, we decided, you know, people like a little something for their money, right? I mean, it's nice to support something you love, like us. Yeah, I think that's great. But in exchange, we also give you guys bonus exclusive content. We do a little recording. We'll talk about stuff that's tangentially related or outside of the realm of TV, more in the pop culture realm, each week. And that is just for you guys. And we want to thank 3 people who just became patrons this week. Cliff, Kevin Toner, and Daniel. Thank you all so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. We also have one other little thing here I want to read. A couple weeks back, Randy, you may recall, that we put out a call for our dear listeners to feel free to review us anywhere in the wild. Go ahead and drop a TV review wherever you want.
If I may, Grant, I have learned not to dare our readers now.
Oh, you've been humbled by this one. Is that what you're saying?
I am impressed by this one.
Okay, well, this one comes to us from Marvin A. Lanier, and he wrote a review for us on a website that is called steelandvelvet.org. Go there if you dare.
Oh my gosh.
I think the title of the blog post on which he wrote this review is very telling. This comes from November 5th, 2015, and the title is "How to Spank Your Wife: A Christian Domestic Discipline Spanking Primer."
The most shocking thing about this is that it was done last year. That's the most shocking thing about this.
The article was written last year.
All right, cool. Okay, I was like, wait, if it was done last year, that's weird.
No, his post was done recently. It was held in moderation, and I'm not very confident it'll actually go through. But his comment was comment number 791, and here is the review he gave on this. Which, by the way, he did at 6:50 in the morning. I got all sorts of details here. That's really early, buddy. But thank you. Here we go. Marvin says, "If you are wondering which shows are Christian domestic appropriate or inappropriate to induce husband corporal punishment, the TV Dudes podcast will skillfully shine a light guiding you to your perfect viewing experience. Featuring Grant, who openly endorses and spies on spanking in all forms, Randy, who is usually spied upon, and a revolving set of hosts, the TV Dudes are perfect curators of what is hitting and what is up and coming in the TV scene." Available on iTunes as the TV Dudes podcast. Go to thetvdudes.com for more information.
Spec-fucking-tacular.
Wow. Hey, so the gauntlet is dropped, and the challenge is now out to all the rest of you listeners. Go ahead. Top that. And if you do, please send me an email at grant@thetvdudes.com, or you can private message me on my Facebook page or on TV News Facebook page or on Twitter, however you guys want to get in contact with me. But please let me know about this so that I can bookmark it to read on next episode.
Or just leave a message at steelandvelvet.com. He'll see it.
There we go. Thank you so much, Marvin and Lanier. Well, let's go ahead and move on to our listener questions. So if you guys like us on Facebook and like us on Twitter, you guys can ask us questions once a week. We'll put up a little post. And for our 100th episode, we were barraged with a ton of them, and I'm going to apologize to most of you right now because, A, we got a long episode, and B, I don't know how we'd get at all these, even if we didn't have a long episode. Let's go ahead and dive into some of these. And, hey, you know what? Jordan Worthcobb. He's got our first question. He says, congrats on the 100 episodes. I'm so proud. Who is the most underrated character in all of TV right now? Underrated? Like, who's just not getting talked about?
Edgar on You're the Worst.
Really?
For real. That actor and that character, he's a homeless, previously homeless vet with PTSD, he's like the good, nice, decent guy on You're the Worst.
And, like, that's his real life backstory?
No, that's character backstory.
Gotcha.
And he's being played just to perfection by Desmond Borges, who is really, really funny.
I think I was the only one who watches Ballers, but I can't remember the actor's name, but he plays the lineman who – he's like a secondary character. He came back for a
– the big old sad lineman dude?
Yeah, he came back to play, then he got cut. Now he's like in the office with working in management. But I really like him because he really shows a lot of a range of emotion, and he's funny, and he's got like he's very graceful for a big dude. So I like him, and I get that actor's name. But
my answer is no one. There's no one that's underrated. If they're not being talked about, they better step up their game.
So so everybody is properly rated.
Yes, everyone is appropriately rated. Next one comes to us from Rob L. McCarthy, who says, Greg, how's the local news in LA?
I saw this, perfect. And I have a whole thing about this, actually.
I would have expected no less.
Actually, the first thing about local news is, like, if you're new to a city, it's actually the best way to get to know a city. It's the local news. So... yeah, I knew a little bit about LA before moving out here, but now I know a lot more. And then you end up having like, you have your morning news, and then you have your weekend news, and then you've got your afternoon news. And like my whole life, I've been more of an NBC person, so I always tend to go to the NBC affiliate. And these newscasters are so like, they don't do like that typical like, how's the weather, Jim? You know, I guess the Rams stink. You don't do any of that. They're actually really like sarcastic with each other, yeah. And really funny, and they cut each other up all the time. So I really like it. They've got, I don't know if you remember, about 3 or 4 years ago, there was an entertainment reporter who was interviewing Samuel L. Jackson, and who thought he was in The Matrix. He got him confused with Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh yeah.
That guy is like the entertainment guy for the KTLA news, and he's actually really good and really funny.
He's the guy for LA?
Yeah.
Look, he can't tell black people apart, but he's still in his entertainment.
Yeah, that was him. But in general, I mean, it's good, and it's actually, you know, you forget that the whole LA, the whole copter, you know, chase on the freeway really kind of started out here. So of course it's like that every day. So it's actually pretty interesting and pretty consequential. And I mean, it's different than like, say, Austin news, which like nothing happens. So here, you know, they're talking about, you know, what kind of, you know, chili pepper you can grow and how the Longhorns are doing and, you know, how somebody almost famous kind of just stopped by some boot store. But here, you know, you've got like murders,
hey, Greg, I'm going to stop you right there, and then I'm going to yell at Rob McCarthy for even asking you this question. Because no joke, you can talk about local news. All right, moving on.
I told you, go move on. Yeah.
We're going to move on to another one that's actually geared toward you, Greg. Marvin A. Lanier, hey, the same guy who wrote that weird review for us.
Spectacular is the word you're looking
Spectacular
for.
Spectacular review. He says, I want to know if Greg is watching Atlanta, and if so, what's his take on it? I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
I've only seen the first two episodes. And at first it was like I kind of got it. I thought it was really low key, almost like black mumblecore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
until,
totally.
Until the jail scene when he's sitting in jail.
Then, oh yeah, then episode two. Yeah.
Because I mean, just all this, how deep that thing went with when the guy. I hope people have seen it by now. Spoilers, but you know when the guy like. You know, he's drinking a pee and all that stuff, and then the cops just beat the hell out of him, which was just shocking the way that happened. After they, oh, hey, what's up? And then all, and then the conversation with the transvestite, and you know, it's just, it was really cool. And then just the look of like, stop being weird. He goes, I'm not being weird. I'm not being weird. I'm just trying to be regular. You know, it's just he, Donald Glover, plays that guy so well. And also just realized, it's going back to thinking about him in Community, how he's such a totally different character. I enjoy it. I enjoy all the subtleties, like, you know, when the rapper's trying to tell the kids, hey, don't shoot. And then the woman jumps on him and says, why are you talking to my kids? And realizes Paperboy. And then she's like, oh, yeah. Let me get a picture.
Love it.
It's really, it's funny. It's got like the race part of it, but it's not really overbearing on the show. It's just more part of that world, who they are. I mean, I really enjoyed it. It's like most good shows, it's like the first, you know, 30 minutes, like, what the hell is this? And then it just kind of hits you. And yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's – I got to catch up on it. I'm not exactly sure if it's my favorite show on TV right now, but it's one of them.
Yeah, it's definitely up there, man. Daniel Wallace says, hey, you dudes, congrats on reaching syndication. What has been your favorite discussion over the past 99 episodes? Ooh, that's a good one. And he says, your new loyal patron of, and then he checks his watch, 6 minutes and counting. Thank you, Daniel, for becoming a patron. We really appreciate it.
I saw this question, mm-hmm. and I went to the website and started looking through past episodes to see if anything would spark. And the truth of the matter is, I like all our conversations. I don't have a favorite early. I mean, I look back. Johnny's Milk Obsession and where we took that was a lot of
Johnny's
fun.
Johnny's Milk Obsession.
Every time we had a guest was always kind of fun.
Was it Johnny that ranted about Batman for like, yes. like went insane?
That was Johnny.
Coke wine was great.
Oh, yeah.
Our Coke wine breaks.
Cocaine wine.
You guys are having, I don't know if it was a Patreon discussion, but it was some type of thing with the unit. Oh, it was uniforms. It was it's all when you guys go into the comic uniforms.
Oh, yeah.
Superhero uniforms.
And I definitely needed to have a grounded origin or else I get really pissed at a superhero movie.
But both sides are so – and I don't have a dog in that race. But both of your sides are so, like, logical and just – I can agree with both of them. It's just – it was great.
But,
and
but
the minutia you got to.
Mine's a little more logical, right?
Randy was right. I think we dedicated a whole episode to him on that one.
Yeah, actually, Randy's had two episodes of being right. So yeah.
And so many more episodes of being wrong.
We can't just keep calling all the rest of them Randy was wrong.
That's what they're called in my head.
Okay, next question comes to us from... Oh, we have to go to Real Rob Fan Club.
Yeah, that's great.
Says, hey dudes, long time, no Rob. Now... I have something incredibly important to tell you on this 100th episode. Something truly shocking that will change everything. This whole time, the Real Rob Fan Club has been run by the man you know and love, Randy Lander! It may come as a shock, but Randy doesn't even realize he's doing it. So, don't trust his denial. The Real Rob Fan Club is his Tyler Durden. You know, I had this suspicion, Randy. So, my question for my alter ego Randy is... What television revelation has shocked you as much as this reveal right now? Also, when will you get the Real Robcast? Beach Cop Detectives is good and all, but an episode-by-episode breakdown of the Real Rob is what America needs right now. Thanks and love.
Tell me you guys are seeing this, too.
Yes. Yes. This is awesome.
We knew
I've
it.
I've seen it.
We knew it all around. Okay, biggest shocking reveal in television. There's been a lot of great ones.
Go Lost, Greg. You know you want to go to Lost.
Yes, okay. It is. We have to go back. We have to go back.
Oh, that's a great reveal.
It was so like, what?
Yeah.
That was just a jaw dropper.
I have a hard time placing my particular reveals. I keep thinking like Sopranos or Breaking Bad or were there big reveals that... And most of the ones I think of that like revealing that Hank had actually poisoned Brock... spoilers for Breaking Bad, that it's sort of they led up to it so that it wasn't a big shock.
Yeah.
Oh, Gus's face sliding off was a big shock.
Yeah, where'd that go?
Yeah, it was shocking for just how awesome and how digital it was. The digital animation of it was great.
Oh. Remember that Game of Thrones one that you got revealed on Facebook?
That was a big reveal. I probably would have been really excited if I hadn't been spoiled.
Why couldn't you be excited about the Facebook reveal? That was also exciting.
One is definitely, since I didn't read the books, the Red Wedding was like, what the hell? Oh. I mean, that was great. And then another one, again, another forgotten show, but Damages in the last episode of the first season. The reveal was so subtle and so crazy that I literally screamed at the television. And it deals with our favorite That Guy actor. Oh my gosh, he was in Flight of the Conchords. He was What's Her Face's husband.
Oh yeah.
Gale.
Dale, yeah, and Dale. Actually Breaking Bad. That actually was another one too, Breaking Bad. He's been in a couple of those. When he got, you know, spoilers, get shot in the face. I don't want to give it away, but it's just he does his little thing, and then it totally changes, puts the whole season in a different perspective. But those two ones, that one and like you said, the one Red Wedding.
I also, for me, the big reveal was the real Rob was in fact not really Rob Schneider. That is the huge reveal at the end of Real Rob season one.
That he was Randy Lander.
He's Randy Lander the whole time.
All right, let's go to one last question. This comes to us from Jedi Cypher over on Twitter. And he says, TV dudes, good shit on your 100th episode. Good shit. Hitting this milestone made me think. What are your favorite TV shows that continue to meet expectations after their 100th, if any? I don't know if... I think everything goes downhill after the 100th.
You know...
Like our show.
I've got a few, actually. I think that Cheers continued on past the 100.
Oh, of course you love Cheers.
Seinfeld continues on past the 100.
Yeah.
Scrubs actually continues past 100 to be what Scrubs is, whether you loved it or not. If you liked it, it's pretty consistent up till its last season.
Friends in the Office carried on for a bit.
Yeah.
Then they went kind of downhill.
Yeah. And I give Mad About You. All the NBC must-see comedies did a pretty good job of continuing. Again, if you hate them in the first place, then they continue being things you hated.
You know, obviously with Law and Order, all of them are still going on. It just stayed the same the whole time, but it didn't. So, I mean, if you liked it, it was fine. And maybe with different, the different characters swapped in and out. Maybe you gotta go old school. You have to go maybe MASH or something, or All in the Family, or, I mean, like any of the Norman Lear stuff in the 70s.
You know, also, West Wing, I've not actually watched the later seasons, but by all accounts, it had a renaissance post episode 100.
Yeah.
Full House. Do you guys remember how much better it got after?
When it really became Fuller House and really took its final form. Yeah. The news.
All right, let's do this. Well, we got some pretty interesting stories, and the first one is that there's a brand new show coming out on Sci-Fi, and normally that's not exciting.
No, it isn't.
But Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, I guess, teamed up for a futuristic spy thriller that's called Incorporated that's coming over to Sci-Fi, and they just released the trailers for this. And Incorporated, looking at the synopsis, okay, the official synopsis is 2074. Governments have fallen and corporations have taken control. A good life requires the right identity. Which one will you choose? As the year 2100 approaches, the world is in chaos. As governments fell, corporations took control. The has and the have-nots find themselves living in the green and red zones, One man, Ben Larson, escapes the red zone, infiltrating the green zone to take them down and find the woman he loves. I don't know, for some reason it sounds a little bit like, futuristic cyberpunk one with the guy partnered with the robot?
Almost Human?
Almost Human. Yeah.
It's not a great pitch, but I watched the trailer and it's interesting. It's a solid pitch. And it's got...
Damon Harriman.
Yeah, Damon Harriman from Justified. Justified.
Dewey Crow.
Yep.
And then we got Dennis Habert from 24.
Dennis Habert, yeah.
Yeah. They also go on to say that Incorporated takes place in the future where corporations have unlimited power. At the center of the story, Ben Larson, an executive, takes on a new identity. It's kind of the same thing. He's going to go across lines to try and save the woman he loves.
Wait, a future in which corporations have taken over? That doesn't seem very plausible.
Yeah, that's like next week, right?
That's now.
That's wait until the election, guys. so I don't know. Something to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, Incorporated airs November 30th over on Sci-Fi. Our next story is more casting news that all of us are going to say, amazing! Have you heard of the show Fargo?
Yeah.
Best show ever?
Yeah.
Did you hear who they already had cast?
No, why don't you refresh our memory?
Ewan McGregor and Carey Coons from Leftovers are both going to be in this season 3. And then we also have Mary Elizabeth Winstead joining the cast.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
You may remember her from her most recent movie, 10 Cloverfield Lane, or you might remember her from a ton of great stuff, including Scott Pilgrim Saves the Universe.
I love Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and she was so good in 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
Fargo continues to have the best cast, and it's one of my favorite shows.
When it comes on like, it's like he's kind of like Larry David, you know? He does it, he can do a show whatever he wants, and what is, it's coming back in 2017 or 18?
It's next year. They only skipped a year.
Next year?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because he wrote his book, and then what was the other show he did?
He is working on a show, Legion, which the trailer for that looks great.
Mm. Yes.
He is, he's making shows for society, Greg.
Winstead will play Nikki Swango, who is described as a crafty and alluring recent parolee with a passion for competitive bridge playing. Wow. She has a plan and is focused on being always at least one move ahead of her opponents.
Interesting. We don't know much about this season, right? I mean, it's not like season 2 we knew was a flashback.
Yeah, it was a period piece. This one also says that Ewan McGregor is playing two characters, brothers Emmett and Ray Stussy.
Right.
Emmett Stussy is a parking lot king of Minnesota, a handsome self-made real estate mogul and family man. And Emmett sees himself as an American success story. His slightly younger brother, Ray Stussy, on the other hand, is a more cautionary tale. Balding, pot-bellied. It's basically that Rob Lowe commercial about whether or not you have cable. And they're going to be at odds. So our next bit of news, over on Netflix, they just dropped a brand new show that we didn't even know about.
Yeah, right?
Easy. Did you guys even hear anything about this before it dropped?
No. No.
Okay, so this is an 8-episode anthology series created by Joe Swanberg. You might know him as one of the guys that's like at the forefront of the whole indie mumblecore movement of like just throwing together movies really quickly. And I guess why they can drop a show on Netflix. Quickly.
Yeah.
He's got this cast including Malin Ackerman, Jane Addams, Andrew Batchelor, Orlando Bloom, Hannibal Buress, Aya Cash, Michael Chernus, Dave Franco, Jake Johnson, Mark Maron, just a ton of people that are all going to be in this show. And I guess it's a show about, it's an anthology series that explores diverse Chicago characters as they fumble through modern day maze of love, sex, technology, and culture.
Yeah, I'm super in. I'm based on the cast alone. I'm in.
Yeah.
Netflix has got just so many shows and movies and that I've totally missed. I mean, I didn't watch all of Stranger Things.
What?
Oh man, what?
I've been busy. I've had to move my whole life. I had to move with a 9-month-old.
That should be priority number one.
Exactly.
Taking care of your kid, priority number two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, but he's looking at me now. He's looking at me now like, what are you doing talking on his phone?
Yeah. He's like, I heard that.
Yeah, he's like, I got you. But I'm excited about this. It's going to – I plan on watching a lot of television, probably visiting over the week during the holidays at my parents' house or something like that. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see Mark Maron in another project.
Yeah.
He had his show, and he's got his podcast, of course, but he also recently got cast in that new Glow project over on, I guess, Netflix as well.
Also on Netflix with Alison Brie.
Yeah, that's going to be from Jenji Cohen. So I'm like, oh, sweet, he's getting a lot of work. Our last bit of news, over on CBS, they have their CBS All Access getting delayed because Star Trek is being delayed. And that was kind of their whole linchpin for the whole thing.
Whoops.
So Star Trek is going to be now delayed and released in May of 2017. And they say, bringing Star Trek back to television carries a responsibility and mission to connect fans and newcomers alike to the series that has fed our imagination since childhood, said executive producer Alex Kurtzman and Brian Fuller. We aim to dream big and deliver. And that means making... Okay, well, basically, hey, they couldn't get their shit done.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I got an email from CBS from the App Store, and it was the saddest email because it's like, hey, get a free week of CBS All Access. And I'm like, why the fuck would anyone do that? You didn't launch your show. Yeah. I don't want a free week of Bull and CSI. Nobody wants that.
Aw, the guy from Bull is like, Alright guys, we are back and we got a lot of TV that, well, honestly, it's already started. Fall season is upon us, and there are shows that we have already been able to catch up on and check out, which we're going to discuss. But first I wanted to run through the calendar with you guys so that we would hear, like, first off, like, what has come out and what we can anticipate in the upcoming weeks.
Mm-hmm.
First up, I did want to say that over on HBO they released a new show called High Maintenance, which is about a guy who's a weed delivery biker who kind of cycles around.
That might be what it's about. I have no fucking idea, and I watched half the thing.
Yeah, we'll come back to that in a minute. Then on the 11th, a couple weeks ago, Son of Zorn just released over on Fox. And then on the 19th, we had Queen Sugar and The Good Place. Good Place on NBC, Queen Sugar on OWN. Tuesday the 20th, This Is Us and Brooklyn Nine-Nine on NBC and Fox, respectively, and we're going to be discussing those. Wednesday the 21st, yesterday as of this recording, we had Lethal Weapon, Speechless, and Designated Survivor. And I think we're going to talk about Designated Survivor this week, and then we'll leave the other two for next week. And then, as of recording this on Thursday, Notorious and Pitch just came out on ABC and Fox. On Friday, you can anticipate MacGyver and The Exorcist. I'm sure we're all excited for those. And then the big one on the 2nd, on October 2nd, Westworld comes out over on HBO, which I know we're all jonesing for. The 3rd, we have Conviction on ABC and Timeless, the new Sean Ryan time travel show over on NBC. The 4th, we'll have Flash and No Tomorrow on CW, followed on Wednesday by Arrow and Frequency. And then Divorce and Insecure on HBO on the 9th. And then the following weeks we're going to have a few more. I'll come back and touch on some of that. But that gives you a little bit of a preview of what's kind of dropping in the next couple weeks. But let's run back and let's start at the top. High Maintenance. Randy, you caught this. I caught this. Greg, did you have to suffer through this one?
No, because I knew it was going to be garbage. A show like this, anything where it's weed, Brooklyn, either hipsters or slightly older than hipsters in their life, you know I'm going to fall on that. It smells like a weak version of Girls or something like that. So I have no interest in it.
That's 100% accurate. It is terrible. And the only thing I got out of it, there's an excruciating scene where the weed dealer has this bro dude who basically won't pay him, won't let him off the hook, and that whole thing was awful. But then it was revealed there were a couple British character actors working on a character, and that made me laugh.
Yeah, it was kind of amusing to pay off, but yeah, I agree. It was a lot to kind of go through just for that. And I mean, for a show just kind of starting off, there's some interesting things I actually thought about this. It seems like they're trying to show the side of New York, a bunch of people that are kind of all into their own shit and the rest of us don't really care about them. They do this with a lot of those shows in New York. But they do seem like they're trying to be a little bit experimental with certain things about it, which, kudos to them. The other plot that you didn't probably get all the way through, Randy?
Nope, didn't get to.
It goes even more bonkers. It's this guy he's a gay guy that's in a relationship with a woman. I don't know what the situation is with
her. She's like his roommate and also like codependent. She's like, I don't know, it was weird.
Yeah, and he just kind of wants to, he treats her like this drug he's trying to get over at a self-help group. I don't know how this intersects ultimately with this drug dealer guy. But I watched the whole thing and I just didn't care. I didn't care.
Yeah.
That's where I left off on this, and I'm like, man, I don't know if I want to watch another episode.
You know what they could have spent this money on? They could have spent this money on another season of Togetherness, which was good.
Yeah.
See, I mean, I know it came from like a YouTube series, one of those YouTube series that was like 10 minutes for each episode. And just reading about it, I was just like, this can't possibly be good. And somebody, I think it's like HBO, if they're not into their regular well of showrunners, it's like their bench of showrunners is like really weak. And so it seems like they're going all these other places to try to find talent. And like, I think the thing with Vinyl really threw them, like how bad it was. I think they were throwing a lot of their weight behind it, and it just sucked. and they were caught with their pants down. And so it just looks like this show is like probably, you know, it's like somebody probably brought it in. They're like, you weren't going to do it. And like, oh shit. Okay. Look, this looks kind of hip. Let's just do it. And it just, I don't know. It just stinks. It stinks.
Yeah.
Rushed in just, you know, shit about people we don't care about.
So Son of Zorn over on Fox is, what if He-Man, like the animated He-Man, had a child with someone in the real world, and he comes over here and interacts with her occasionally, and he's still this crazy barbarian. Did you guys catch this?
Yes, I did. Greg, did you see this?
I did not see it. I thought it was starting next week.
It is. It's on the official time slot next week, but it had a preview.
It's voiced by Jason Sudeikis,
who I love. It's got, his wife is played by, forget her real name. Cheryl Hines, yes.
From Kirby Enthusiasm.
Yeah. Tim Meadows is her new fiancé. Mm-hmm. And her son, their son, is a recognizable actor, but I don't remember his name.
Yeah, I'm like, what do I know it from? But, what'd you think?
I did not like this.
No?
And it's Lord and Miller. Like, and it's a good concept, but I thought it was clumsy. I didn't think it was very funny. And I kept waiting for it. You know what it is for me? It's very much like Last Man on Earth. Mm. It's like all the parts are there for it to be great, and instead I kind of hated it.
I was actually kind of amused by good pieces of it, but only mildly amused. It wasn't like I was just like, ugh, I need to turn this off. But it wasn't anything that was going to compel me to want to watch week after week. I figure this is one of those that I could avoid watching and wait to see if the buzz gets good on it.
That's kind of where I am.
I'll come back. Otherwise, I mean, it seems like a lot of the humor is very surface level, what you'd kind of anticipate.
Yeah.
And most of the good jokes I saw in the previews.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, his gags are that he doesn't understand that his boss is a woman because he can't imagine a woman being in charge of him. That's the joke. It's so obvious.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to see if this kind of develops. Maybe. I like Lord and Miller, so they might be able to. And I like all the talent.
It's good cast.
Yeah. The Good Place just came out over on NBC, and this is the new project from Mike Schur, who you might be familiar with from Parks and Rec. He also was a writer on The Office. And this is with Kristen Bell and Ted Danson, and it takes place with, what's her character's name? Do you remember?
She is Eleanor. I don't remember her last name.
Eleanor, who is a person who just died, and she belongs in the bad place, but she somehow lucked into going to the good place. a type of utopia for only the best of the best really good people, like the top 3% of amazing human beings on Earth. And she doesn't belong there. And what do you think, Randy?
I loved this.
Yeah?
Now, first of all, I'm in the tank for these guys because he's just... These are also the same guys that did Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed this episode. I love Kristen Bell. I'm glad to see her on TV in a show that I can enjoy again instead of that Showtime thing that I hated. I love Ted Danson. And the new people they've got on here are all really good. I thought this was a really fun, high-concept comedy, and I thought that it was really entertaining. There's some good little background jokes, like what will get you sent to the good place, what will get you sent to the bad place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of potential. Like, they talk about they've clearly gotten the wrong Eleanor. So the other Eleanor is in the bad place. You know that we're going to see an episode in the bad place at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You know that we're going to see – Ted Danson is a new architect. This is his first neighborhood in the good place. He's for 300 people. So you know at some point we're going to visit other neighborhoods and see people who are like his boss. There's so much room to expand, just like they did in Parks and Rec, just like they did in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
There's a great mythology, I guess,
yes,
that's been established for this. That it's going to be, yeah, really fascinating to kind of branch out to. Greg, did you get a chance to check this one out?
I didn't get a chance to check it out. It's funny because I'm so down on NBC that I thought, oh, it's probably just not going to be that good or not last. But from what you've said, Randy, and then some stuff that I've read, I'm like, oh, maybe I should check it out. I'm only one episode behind, so I might as well.
Although they actually did release a double.
I was going to say, and they released the third one today, so you're three episodes behind. But that's good.
It's easy to catch up. But, yeah, I mean, I'll check it out. I mean, out of all – most of the new shows, this is one that I said, yeah, I thought that I could probably be into, but we'll see.
It's interesting you say that about NBC, though, because honestly, looking at the new shows, I feel like they've got the three most obvious hits for me. And so far, they're two for three. The third one hasn't premiered yet.
Right.
Yeah. But I watched this as well. I thought that there are parts of this that are a little bit audacious. It seems like it was like a little bit over the top. I don't know how they can maintain the budget for some of the things they're doing.
Oh, maybe sure.
That's them just kind of pouring some money into the pilot. But then that kind of makes me... I don't know. It just seemed like a little bit tonally weird to have so much surreal that like where her dreams were interfering with the world.
Sure.
Popping up because I'm like, is this going to be a regular thing in this? Because if so, I don't know if I'm on board. It looked a little weird.
I don't know. We'll see where they go. I mean, I don't know. I don't think we know what the regular week-to-week looks like yet.
With people jumping up and flying, with the giant bugs attacking the city, those parts kind of pulled me out in a way where I didn't like the show. Because I think that they already have such a high concept that was a little bit too wacky, I guess, for it.
I actually disagree. I think you need that. I mean, otherwise it becomes people in houses talking and going to frozen yogurt shops. I think the weirdness, like the Siri-like girl who appears whenever you call her, or...
I like that. That's
or fine. Or the raining garbage, or the fact that you can't die. Like, I think you need that weirdness to make it work.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like Parks and Rec was able to be so grounded, and it was about the relationships between people. But maybe they're afraid that they have to go big first to establish this world before they can kind of take the time to delve into really examining those relationships.
But Parks and Rec also had all the people of Pawnee who, like, ate nothing but sugar, and...
Yeah, but that was slowly doled out.
Yeah, I'm just saying, Parks and Rec was hardly realistic.
Yeah, this just goes bonkers.
It does start at that place, you're right.
Okay. But I agree. This is one of my favorite ones I've seen so far. And that means let's move on to This Is Us over on NBC.
I think we're going to differ on this one, Grant.
Probably a bit.
Ooh, okay. Now, this is good because did either of you watch Parenthood?
No.
Okay. So I know NBC will put out a show that people love that's actually pretty good. But if you don't buy into it like the first couple episodes, jumping into it is kind of like, I just don't want to do that.
This is definitely like Parenthood, yeah.
This is their Parenthood replacement. But I get that Friday Night Lights, that it's their sincere show. It's their heart-tugging show.
Yeah,
and I plugged into it.
I don't know. I have to either be in a mood or it's something about sometimes it's like the messages they have to me just aren't that subtle or just too like.
It's not subtle.
No. So this is a show about four people all turning 36 and crazy stuff that happens to them on their 36th birthday.
Yeah, they all have the same birthday. It's a couple that are about to have triplets. So, and this is the trailer, so you'll see that their triplets are coming on the dad's birthday.
Yeah, Milo Ventimigliano.
That's not how you pronounce that.
It's close enough. And Mandy Moore are the parents that are about to have triplets.
And she goes into labor on his birthday, so the triplets are going to have the same birthday as him. Gerald McRaney is the guy is their doctor, and that's really, he's one of the best parts of the show.
He is, but it's not his birthday.
There's also, no, it's not his birthday. It is also
twins.
Yes, there's an overweight woman, and there's a guy, Justin Hartley, formerly Green Arrow on Smallville.
That's who he is.
Okay. Who is a guy in a terrible CBS-style comedy called The Manny.
Where he has his shirt off all the time.
Yeah.
He's very, very basic.
And they're all having sort of, and then there's another guy who is played by Sterling K. Brown.
Yeah.
Who was on People vs. O.J. Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
And he's this guy who's done very well for himself, but he has had a private eye found his father, his biological father, who had left him on the fire station when he was born. And he sort of has these conflicted feelings about this guy. He's turned out very well, but he's got these feelings toward this guy, and it's about him confronting him. And it's like a bunch of different families, a bunch of people going through things. And I really enjoyed this. I don't want to give away the finale, which sort of gives a spin on how this is going to go forward. But I really enjoyed it. I didn't see the spin coming at the end. And I there was leakage from my eyes at some point. So
get out of here.
No, I think it's – okay, here's the thing. This is written by Dan Fogelman, who is known for Crazy Stupid Love, Tangled, Cars, Bolt. He's done a bunch of good stuff. His TV stuff, he's also got Pitch over on Fox, which is supposed to be one of the best pilots this year. He did Grandfathered. He did Gallivant. This guy has some stuff under his belt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so – okay. We have a mutual friend who went to he was reviewing this on his Facebook post, and he put that this show was not sappy. The one thing I would definitely call this is sappy. This knew the emotional notes to play on everyone, and it sure gravitated toward them. It was just full of the biggest dramatic moments for all of these characters, culminating at the exact same time. If that's not sappy, if that's not emotionally manipulative to the audience, I don't know what it is.
It's definitely, I mean, I would have been shocked if you had liked this, Grant, because this is not your kind of show. It's not usually mine.
It's not terrible, but it's not, I mean, after a certain point, I kind of knew what the end note was going to be.
Yeah.
Because at the very beginning, there was a curious little date thing on the box.
You picked up on it?
I did. And I was like, huh. And, like, you know, yeah, it just seemed kind of curious that it kept having me think. But I don't know. I think that the relationship stuff, sure, if you are into parenthood, this is right up your alley. And it's really well done. Personally, not for me.
Yeah, and I'm very much on board. I don't know if I'll keep watching just because too much good TV, but I'm going to get at least a seven episode.
Now, okay, so if you like – so you're talking about the relationship stuff, but is it like as, I guess, conflicting as like the stuff that was on Togetherness? Is it like that or is it just
– No, it's not that. It's definitely like, you know, there's danger to the babies and there's – the guy confronts his father, and there's a lot of that sort of the most important day in your life kind of stuff.
Yeah. Right, but I mean, it'd be interesting if, like, say, the father, you know, like kills his son or something like that. When there's like just some kind of crazy twist.
No, it's not like that. It's relatively grounded drama, but like Parenthood, or occasionally something like Six Feet Under or something kind of like where it would just want to play to these big emotional moments.
So you guys don't see this. I'm in the same room as Grant. It pained him to compare this show to Six Feet Under.
It did.
It physically pained him.
I'm surprised he did that.
But I don't know. It's just one of those shows that it knows what it wants to do to an audience. It seems like emotional manipulation is more of a priority than the solid storytelling. That's what I always take from these shows.
That's reasonable. I think it's going to be a love or hate show, and among the TV dudes, clearly so far, one love, one hate.
Well, you know what? Okay, I'll watch it, and I'll provide you my verdict.
I would not say I'm hate.
You're not hate?
I watched it. I thought, oh, that's a good episode. You emotionally manipulated the bastards. There's a difference, I think. All right, well, let's jump over to Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is back with a crazy episode.
Yeah.
So we've jumped ahead, what is it, like 18 months? 16 yeah. months? In the lives of...
Greg and Larry.
Captain Holt and Peralta are living next door undercover, or I guess...
Witness protection.
Down in Florida because that mob hitman has a hit out on their lives. And that's kind of where we pick up. What'd you guys think?
Andre Brower. Make Andre Brower wear costumes and do ridiculous dances in hip-hop all day.
Yes.
I was laughing so hard when he's got to do that kids party and I'll do the dance in your name. Just like and how straight he was. It's just, oh my God, he's funny.
He's so straight-faced about it. This guy has to be like the best guy to hang out with in real life.
Oh, he's great. Also, I am a man who is married to a woman. She has very heavy breasts. The gay man pretending he's straight. Which, by the way, there is no... My daughter
isn't hairy at all.
my daughter was watching it with me, and she's yelling at it. She's like, why couldn't he just be gay? I'm like, because that wouldn't have been as funny.
Yeah. That's not part of his cover. Why can't Jake just like Die Hard? Why does he have to like trailer?
Because no two people like the same movie, Grant.
Yeah.
Not these two people. Maya Rudolph, just... I mean, we'll definitely see more of her, but that was just a little just... It was funny. She's always funny.
Maya Rudolph's best character is annoyed at everyone character, and this is what she's playing here.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they did a whole episode. There was no jump back to the rest of the 9-9. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll see him later. But this whole episode of them and Witness Protection was really funny. I love Rhea Perlman as one of the walkers, which is a great little nod.
We gotta see more of her then. Because
exactly.
That's too big of a character.
But yeah, I mean, I thought they did a great job here. I thought the ATV being a death trap never stopped being funny to me. And of course, Holt being able to wheelie out on it.
Yeah.
Well, that and I don't know why it cracked me up, but Holt's boss, Greg's boss, saying,
yes.
You really got to stop the weed. It just was killing me. And even his little thing when he takes a shot with the basketball, he goes, suck it, kid, or whatever he says. He goes, you know, it just... I don't know why it's just the beats on the show, and then Andre Brower. It's got to be bloopers. He's got to crack up sometimes. But
I'm not sure.
So good.
Always be so deadpan.
And then that plan to go to the hospital, and they're like, "Well, where am I going to get that uniform?" It goes on to my casual wear closet. I was like, "Of course he gets it." You know,
Andre Brower and Andy Samberg are probably the best pairing on this show, and giving them a half hour to spotlight was really worked.
I feel like last season we had maybe a little bit of a slowdown mid season. We're like,
a little bit.
I don't know how we're feeling about this. But I'm back to just fully loving this show.
Yeah.
Okay. Lethal Weapon, Speechless, and Designated Survivor came out on Wednesday. Of those, we were able, or at least you two were able to catch Designated Survivor.
Oh, you didn't see it, Grant?
No, I didn't see it. But go ahead. What do you guys think?
Yeah, so the Designated Survivor, which if people don't know, when the State of the Union is given, they pick a cabinet member who becomes the Designated Survivor in case something terrible happens, and like both houses of Congress and the president, the government is basically wiped out, this guy will become the president. And as you might guess, because Kiefer Sutherland is the Designated Survivor, he's the Housing and Urban Development Secretary, something bad happens, and he does survive. And that's sort of the premise. It's going to be a mix of West Wing and Maggie Q sort of doing the Jack Bauer thing and investigating what happened.
It's very, I don't know. It like Helene and I were watching it today. I watched. She came in on it and we were watching it, and I was like, first of all, you have to kind of get out of your head. You know, Kiefer Sutherland in a terrorist situation. He's not Jack Bauer, so
yeah.
which is very difficult. I mean, they put glasses on to kind of make him softer, make him look a little bit nerdier. And
did you buy it or not? Because I bought it.
I sort of bought it because I'm in a tank for Kiefer Sutherland. I've always liked him as an actor. So, I mean, I have to have my bias. My buy-in, I think, is more based on my bias of, like, I like Kiefer Sutherland. I want him to succeed. The show, though, it's got, like, you know, I like all the character actors, all the actors around him. Cal Penn is great, you know. I mean, that little bathroom stall, which you know what was going on with it, but it still was kind of cool the way, you know, all the stuff he said about him and not knowing, you know, Kiefer Sutherland was in there. It just, I don't know if it's moving too fast. I don't know if it's because I've got, like, visions of, you know, Homeland and 24 in my head. I don't know if I can buy – I'm not quite sure if I can buy into the whole show. I can buy into certain characters. Like, one of the things I was really happy about is, like, okay, so the son who's kind of like, you know, the rebellious teenager kid.
Right.
Wasn't so rebellious to the point of, like, you know, because, like, you know, they make kids, like, ridiculously rebellious. Like, I'm not going to the White House. Fuck the White House. Fuck yeah. I want to do this. No, he's like, oh, no, I got to go. And then he comforts his sister. So I'm thinking, okay, the kid's a little more realistic, even though he's a drug dealer. But yeah. So I'm like, okay, that's okay. I you know, that's kind of cool. And I like – and, of course, you've got the obvious, you know, we can't let this guy run a country. I should run a country. So, you know, you see the obvious, you know, threat from within the government. So, but I'm curious about the investigation, why this happened. I like Maggie Q. I like the actors that got into it. I'm curious about – to me, it's almost like – what was that? Event Horizon or whatever? Not Event Horizon. But
the event.
No. Flash Forward. Well, Flash Forward and the event where the shows aren't that great, but I'm curious enough to know how they resolve it.
See, it's interesting because that's the exact opposite of the reaction I had to it. Every time they cut to Maggie Q in the investigation, I could not have cared less. We've seen this done. I don't really care who blew up. The premise doesn't matter who caused the destruction. I want to see how does the lowest rung guy in the government become the president and work with the political. Like, I want this to be more West Wing than 24.
Yeah, and I would like that too. But it's just the only way the way they set the premise. I mean, it would be more interesting with that, with the political stuff, and it might also be because of the climate we're in right now. But it's just because the only way this could possibly happen, you have to have like a ridiculously huge event like that yeah. It has to be resolved. And so, and how they resolve that, if there's any tie-in or anything to Keith or Sutherland or something, which I can't see happening. But, I mean, I just – it's that's too big of an event to put him in a position of power. And then there's – I don't see any – you know, I mean, you can predict what that would do, you know, with, like, again, with the military people who are say basically don't trust him, and then probably some other people, and then – you know, he's got this agenda. I mean, the whole idea that his agenda was left off the he was getting fired, you know, which I think is pretty interesting. That's the interesting part, I think.
Yeah, that's – I want to see how a political neophyte works with, like, Cal Penn, who's clearly an operator, with his wife, who was clearly ready to be first lady. They really did a good job casting Natasha McElhone there. She's really good. And – I can see a version of this show that I want to watch. I'm not sure, based on the pilot, this is that show.
Yeah, but I'll keep watching it a little bit. I mean, it's almost like, you know, it's a decent enough show. The premise is a little interesting, but I'm sure it'll get to the point where, like, okay, that was ridiculous. That was ridiculous. I got to, you know, well, I think it'll turn us off. But I don't know. And who knows? So I'll give it a chance. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. I was looking to see David Guggenheim as the creator. His previous stuff is something called Stolen, movie called Safe House, maybe?
Safe House was an entertaining movie. It wasn't great, but it was at Denzel Washington and the guy who was Deadpool. Ryan Reynolds, yeah.
Yeah, at any rate, it's not a pedigree where I go, oh, this guy's made good stuff before. Who knows? Yeah.
No, he actually produced – I thought he produced a lot of Law and Order or something like that too, but anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we could actually put a pin in it this week because we're going to be coming back and talking about a few of these other shows. I guess if we wanted to, what's your big pick for what we've already seen? What's your favorite so far? We'll go around. And what are you most looking forward to?
Greg?
I would say what I'm looking forward to the most actually is Insecure. Insecure on HBO. If you're talking about the whole list, right?
Yeah, sure, everything, yeah.
Yeah, I would say Insecure I'm looking forward to because it looks – she – that actress – that was another web series, and it's basically about a black woman and her, you know, just working, being black in a, you know, her life, and just looks really funny. And another show that's actually not on here that I forgot to mention to you guys, but it's called Berlin Agent on Epix. Again, it's one of those, it's one of those spy shows. I think it's the first one on Epix that's like their first scripted show, I think. So I'm looking forward to that too.
Oh, very cool. What about you, Randy?
Okay, well, I have my favorite thing I'm looking forward to that's on HBO is Westworld.
Oh.
I'm super excited for Westworld. And Luke Cage is on Netflix. But if we're talking network, like the network fall premieres.
Not necessarily.
Oh, okay. Well, then I've already cheated. I'm done. But of the stuff that we enjoyed the most, definitely The Good Place.
Yeah. I'd say I'm pretty much there as well. The Good Place is the one that I'm going to be watching going forward. And Westworld. Yeah. Oh, and Luke Cage.
Yeah.
Well, Luke Cage, see, there's so many. There's Luke Cage. There's Westworld. There's I still haven't watched Narcos, the second season of Narcos. So, I mean, it's too much. I mean, I guess I was thinking – I guess I just assumed everybody would say Westworld. That's why I didn't say it. But yeah, definitely Westworld.
So we've had 100 episodes of us bitching about never having enough time to watch TV. Here's to 100 more, guys.
Well, actually, there's one thing that is interesting about being out here in LA is that all the advertising for all the shows. I guess it's funny because LA is the second largest market next to New York. And everything is done here, but just on the buses, like I've seen MacGyver, like there's like on our building, there's like a, you know, or the building next to us, there's a big ass billboard, and you see MacGyver jumping out of whatever the hell he's jumping out of.
Yeah, we never see any of that. It's like, who are you guys advertising to? Yourself?
That makes a lot of sense.
No, it is crazy. I mean, they advertise everything, and then driving through the hood and what they're advertising, like they're advertising that Meryl Streep movie through the hood. I'm like, what? Why did you put it there? Who's coming from South Central to go watch, you know, the Meryl Streep movie or like, you know, like The Good Place? I mean, I don't want to stereotype, but I'm kind of like, I'm not quite sure this is really good targeted advertising.
Maybe the marketing doesn't want to stereotype either.
No, right. I guess they have money to spend, but I think this fall is it's just too much TV. It's just too much. And I may go through without watching any network TV.
I'm just hoping that everything kind of sucks so we can kind of cut down and focus.
That was my hope too, and so far I've got stuff I want to watch.
Oh no. Well, Greg, it's great to hear from you again.
Yeah, it's time. It's like things, you know, say that was like August, July, so it's been like 2-3 months. Things have settled down. I'm able to catch up on TV again, and everybody is settling in. Ellington's about to be a year old, which is crazy out of that. Oh, if you told me 6 years ago I'd have a son, I'd be like, what are you talking about?
I'm pretty sure I did. I told you that. And you said, get away from me, creep.
And wait, so, yeah, actually 6 years ago, Randy was the only parent.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, so, I mean, that shows you how time flies. And then, my gosh, if we go another 6 years, he'll be parent of...
He'll be a grandparent.
That's not... No.
Oh.
No.
Oh, I'm kidding. I'm just joking.
That's terrible. That was terrible. It was funny and terrible. I was about to say the father of somebody going to college.
Let's hope. You know,
yeah. Well, or very successful in whatever she does, but...
Hopefully something that makes a lot of money for her father.
There you go. Well, dear listener, we also want to thank you guys for supporting us for not just 100 episodes, for 6 years of us doing this. This has been a big passion project for us, and like you guys have just really come through. You guys have always been there week after week, giving us questions, supporting us over on Patreon, which is just – it's still amazing to us. It's very humbling. And, you know, we love you guys, and thank you so much for choosing us among all the multitude of you know, they're all worse, but other podcasts
yes,
are there.
Much worse. They're oh, worse. And thank you for reviewing us literally everywhere.
Yes! All right, well, we're going to go ahead and stop here, and then we're going to jump over onto Patreon, and we're going to talk a little bit more.
Greg, do you remember how we signed out?
TV Dude's out.
Yes!
That was awesome.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast. It is exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and on Twitter at TV Dudes, and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.